workshop is going to be on that theme. Our theme for the year is coming home. Now, I've mentioned that to a few other church leaders, and they're like, okay, coming home, what's that mean? Well, I don't know, it could mean a lot of things. In fact, to some extent, as a leadership group, we kind of chose something that can work more than one way on purpose. All right, but I'll have to say, last year's theme, Jesus, was a little bit easier to figure out than coming home. But I really feel after a year of the craziness that we've had, and we've certainly had a lot of craziness, that our country, our city, us individually, our families have gotten fractured, separated, isolated. And I really believe 2021 is going to be a year generally for coming home. And so as you can see on the PowerPoint there, four little interpretations. The first three I'll talk about a week from Saturday. I'm going to spend a little bit more time in the fourth right now. So coming home in the sense of us as a family kind of re-embracing each other. And I think generally most of us within our Bible talk have remained close. But across the church, I mean, there's people you've not even seen in our church in months, unless you or that person came to our park services, of which we only had two. So we're going to talk about that this year. We're going to talk about our family. We're going to have devotionals on this, and we're going to have midweeks, and we're just going to celebrate the family that we have. Number two, coming home, and I appreciate Bella praying about this. Brothers and sisters who've left, who've walked away, who've wandered away, coming back. Now, when Jan and I showed up here, for the first 3 or 4 months, we really put an emphasis on finding people who'd strayed and bringing them back. And the bottom line is, in the first year, I think we had 6 or 7 restorations, and that's great. But you can't emphasize everything all the time. So we haven't been emphasizing that for the last year and a half. But I really believe in these next 3, 4, 5 months, as we can start to meet together again. And by the way, we will be meeting again pretty soon, okay? I think this is another time we need to kind of go back out and do that again. So through the Bible Talk leaders, through contacting me or Jan, we're going to start developing prayer lists. We're going to start making phone calls, you know, losing pops, who was in the process of trying to come back. That hurts. And Patty's hurting right now. And there's many other people like that. So that's another thing we're going to be doing this year. I'm supposed to not talk about this too much because this is a week from Saturday. And third, we're going to be a home to people who are lost in our community, helping those in Bakersfield who have been looking for a home. You know, there's until you find the kingdom of God, there's just this hole in your heart that can only be fulfilled through God. And I believe, I'm not saying that we're the only saved people in Bakersfield, but I believe with all my heart that there can't be a better family, a better place for people who are trying to find their home with God's people. So another form of coming home is finding people out there who need to become Christians. And then fourth, I'll talk about this tonight. I really believe that our country is going to go through a big transition in the next 3 or 4 months. You know, after World War I and after World War II, there were radical changes in our country because we'd gone through a great time of trauma. And we had a leaders meeting in early December, and I asked the leaders, what's your vision for 2021? Dead silence. And I think that's symbolic. That's not being critical of them at all. I think that's our country. That's our community. And we've become so caught up in the situation of day to day that I think we've lost a sense of vision of where we're going. And so I believe that God is always working, that God is on a mission even when we're not. And I believe God is preparing a special time that people, as they're coming out of the fog, opening up the door to their cave, they're going to be looking for something, and I think it's going to be something new. I was listening to a commentary the other day where somebody proposed that after the COVID thing, it's going to be like the roaring 20s and people are going to go wild. That person is wise enough to realize that something's going to happen. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. And maybe he's even right. Maybe that's what's going to happen to our country. But I believe there are going to be people that are going to be specially open to coming into the kingdom of God at the end of this time. So I really believe that we as a church, we need to be thinking about that, what it's going to be looking like, and what we can do as a body of Christians so that we can become the place that people come to in our community. And I know point number three and point number four in my outline are kind of similar, but I want to talk about that. We need to have specific plans, and we're going to talk about that. I've got a few things working. I've always got a few plots going on here, some things that we're going to do. And when I tell you about what we're going to be doing, you're going to go, "You're kidding." And I'm saying, "Oh, no, I'm not kidding." I'm saying, "Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing." And nobody else is going to be doing those things. All right, well, amen for such a time as this, right? So the title of my lesson is Kairos. It's a Greek word. And the title in English is At Just the Right Time. You know, in Greek, there are two words for time. And one of them is the standard word for time. It's chronos. We get chronology, chronometer, clock, in other words. So the one, and it's the more common word in Greek in the Bible for time. And it means like time of day, or how much time do we have, or, you know, that kind of thing. Time as in, you know, progress of, you know, hours, minutes, months, years, etc. The other word that's translated as time is a special meaning of time. And the Greeks have this word for this special concept. It's called kairos. And it means a point in time. This is the time. And kairos is almost never translated just time. It's usually translated with at least two words, because if you say time, that's not really exactly what it means. So sometimes it's translated the right time, or the opportune time, or the appointed time, or in one case, as we'll see in Romans 5:6, at just the right time. And kairos, to me, represents God's time. And like I said, I really believe March, April, May, June. I'll be honest with you, I'm ready to throw January and February, you know, it's going to be more of the same. Let's just face it. Pretty much. January and February are going to be more of the same. And March, maybe we'll see. But I'm telling you, April, May, June, it's going to be a kairos, God's time. And I want us to pray about this, to be thinking about this. And so what I'm going to do tonight is just a word study. I don't think I've done a word study in the 2 years that we've been here. It's not quite 2 years. It's real close to 2 years. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to read a few passages where you can see this idea that God has a special time prepared for special things. Actually, I'm going to start in the Old Testament, in Esther 4:14. By the way, if you look on the screen there, you'll see a bunch of verses there. If you can't keep up, and Monroe, you don't need to keep coming back to the screen, but if you want to, it's up to you. But I'll post this at my website, and so you can look it up. But The only scripture we're going to look at that does not have the word kairos in it is Esther 4:14, because Esther obviously is in Hebrew. But I believe Esther 4:14, a lot of you will recognize what this is even before we turn there. I think it's a perfect example of the kind of thing we're talking about. And so I want to give you a vision tonight for God has a special time prepared for you personally, for your Bible group, for our church, for our city, for our country, and for the world. So, Esther 4:14, I bet three or four of you already know exactly what we're going to be reading. You know this, probably the most famous passage in the book of Esther. So let me read it. So the context is Mordecai talking to Esther about the situation that God had prepared, where his people were about to be slaughtered. And God had put Esther in a very special situation. It says here, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. A special time, an opportune time, an appointed time, a God-appointed time, at just the right time. God's timing. Let's look at some other passages. This can be kind of fun. Matthew 26:18. And by the way, this lesson has no logical outline to it. Basically, what I'm doing is we're doing about a quarter of the New Testament passages that have this word in it, but I'm just starting in Matthew and going to Revelation, okay? So I'm a big believer in having really carefully designed outlines, but tonight there ain't no outline, folks. I'm just picking scriptures out and seeing what we see. Matthew 26:18. So here we have, he replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. If there's anybody in all history who had the idea of a special appointed time, it's definitely Jesus. Jesus was aware that God is working and God is preparing things. And Jesus was always preparing himself for when God, the time God had chosen to work, so that he was ready. And, you know, I think about in Matthew 25, the 10 foolish virgins who were not ready for God's kairos, and the 5 wise virgins. The 5 wise virgins who were ready for God's kairos. Another one is Mark chapter 1, verse 5. This is a good one. Mark 1, 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And I messed up. I got the wrong passage. Oh, no. All right, here we go. Verse 15. The time has come. The kairos has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And I believe that for all of us, God has prepared a time. You know, Acts 17, our seeking God study. God has prepared the times and the places. And God's prepared a time and place for every single person in this world so that the kingdom of God can come into their lives. And for us as disciples, we need to be there. You know, there's somebody that you've shared with again and again and again and again, and their kairos is going to come. And you need to be accessible to them. They need to have your card in their wallet. You need to be the person they think of. You know what? Now is the time I want to turn my life around. I know I'm going to call Bella. I'm going to call Tony. Something like that. All right. The next passage is Mark chapter 12, verse 2. Again, we're just looking at different places, different examples where God prepared a people, a place, a situation for a special work that he was going to do. And God's man, God's woman is ready to step into that situation, into the mission of God. All right, so Mark chapter 12, verse 2. All right, it says, at harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. All right, at harvest time. And by the way, at harvest kairos. And again, a lot of the passages that use this word are evangelism passages. Because there's a time of harvest. There's a time of planting. There's a time of watering. There's even a time of resting. There's a time of healing. I'm thinking of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But you know what, folks? There's a time of harvest. There is. And we as disciples, we need to be there. We need to be out in the fields. The time is ripe for harvest. And there, again, is the word kairos. Just practically across the page, Mark 13, verse 32 through 33. But about that day, here, this is Mark's equivalent of Matthew 25. When we're looking at, Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the time of his return, we didn't use Mark. We did that in Matthew. So we didn't read this passage in our Jesus series, but we're going to read it tonight. Okay, Mark 13, 32 through 33. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that kairos will come. You know, there's a time when God is going to return. You know when God's going to return? You know when Jesus is going to come back? He's going to come back at the perfect time. Thing is, unlike other times, you know, I think we can anticipate there's going to be a time this year, March, April, May, June. The time of Jesus' return is something that only God knows. And Jesus said, even I don't know the kairos, not yet, in his human limited self. I'm pretty sure Jesus is well aware now. And so we need to be prepared at every moment in our life. We need to be like the wise virgins. We need to keep the oil in our lamp because we do not know the kairos. But I'm telling you right now, when Jesus comes back, we're all going to say, now that was the perfect time. Next, Luke 4:13. Luke 4:13. All right, so we've seen the time being the time of harvest. We've seen the time being the time for the kingdom of God to come into somebody's life. We've seen the time, the kairos, being when Jesus comes back. But there's some other concepts as well. Luke 4:13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him for a kairos. Yes, folks, Satan understands the concept of kairos. And he is waiting for the perfect time to tempt you, to put a stumbling block in your way at a time when you will not recover. And, you know, in 1 Peter says, we are not unaware of his schemes. So we need to understand that Satan is probably has a higher IQ than you or I. And he is aware not only that there are times of ideal time for a victory, for a change, for a new path. There's also time when you're going to be especially vulnerable. All right? And, you know, we have people even in our church who are in especially vulnerable positions right now. That would include, I would say, probably Tony. I think it includes probably Mike, Mackie. The Mackie family is going through some stuff. It's not just the thing with Mike's lungs. It's a tough time for them right now. So point number five or whatever it is, six, Satan is aware of times as well. Luke 12. 56. I didn't know if I should throw that one in there or not in this outline, but I threw it in there, so there you go. Luke 12:56 says here, hypocrites, You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? You know, God expects us to be paying attention. To not just kind of walk through life and whatever comes. You know, some of us, we're just taking it one day at a time. And, you know, to some extent, I get the taking it one day at a time thing. But brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to what's happening in our family, in our culture, in our city, in our world. And we need to be, I really believe that we need to be aware that God has kairos, opportune times. And I in our church, it's honestly, it's my role especially. It's kind of my job, you know what I'm saying, as the evangelist, to kind of pay attention to what's the need right now. That's why in November, you know, I had some discussions with Nora. I said, Nora, right now, and Nora and Cecilia responded incredibly, and the whole church, I'm so proud of how the church responded to that kairos. Because there was a time, and I believe there still is, for the next 2 or 3 months. And by the way, we're going to go back. We're going to do that sandwich thing, and we're going to do it again. We're going to do other stuff. All right, you're going to get overloaded with hope projects right now. I'm just telling you. Be aware. Cecilia and Nora are working behind the scenes. Okay, got it? But I believe that was a time. And in this passage, basically, Jesus is rebuking the Jewish leaders because they're kind of oblivious to what's going on. Satan's aware of what's going on. I believe we need to be aware of what's going on. And honestly, that's why we're having this lesson right now. Because I really believe, I keep saying this, but I want us as a church to be looking up and looking for this. This is a special time. And a good example of this would be in 1989, 1990, when the Iron Curtain fell. Young people, you don't even know what the Iron Curtain is. It's not something you have to move. It's going to fall on you. It's the Soviet Union fell. And that was a kairos. OMG, was that a kairos? And by a incredible luck or by God's work, it just so happened that our fellowship planted a church in Moscow in 1989. And I'm telling you, when the brothers and sisters went on the streets, many of them didn't even speak Russian, and we had 500, 1,000, 2,000 visitors. They had so many Bible studies, they would have a house. I've talked to the brothers and sisters in Russia. They tell the stories where they had people lined up, and they would just do the light and darkness study or the church study with 30 people, and they baptized something like 1,000 people. Starting from whatever, 15 in a year. Because that was a kairos. All right, and again, I believe we're approaching one of those things in our country. And so here Jesus is rebuking somebody for not being aware. All right, oh, good. It's not, the screen's not up. Don't go to the slide right now, please. All right, we've been studying John for, about 8-9 weeks. Where in John does Jesus talk about a time, a kairos? Oh, how about 8 times? Hopefully you got it. If not, it's okay. John 7:6. Okay, we've seen Jesus use this concept of a particular God-appointed time. I have no idea how many times, how many chronoses we've done this. John 7:6. I just randomly picked one of several. Therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. We already saw that in Mark 1:15, excuse me. All right. So Jesus had a time. All of us have a time when our lives are going to end. You know that, right? And we need to be prepared for that as well. But Jesus had a sense of mission. He had a sense of where. It's 5 minutes before 8. Oh, Romans 5:6. All right, John, go fast. I had no idea. And we need to have discussion groups tonight. I'm going to go to 5 after 8, okay? Forgive me. Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. I've only been talking for 25 minutes. All right. Romans 5, 6. This is my favorite. Actually, I have two favorites. I have two favorites. Romans 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right kairos. And by the way, this is two words. It's five words in English. It's two words in Greek. And I think it's something like just kairos. At just the right time, when we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And this is a pretty deep concept. At the right time and place in the Roman Empire, when there was a single, almost worldwide empire with a single, almost worldwide government, a time of peace, the Pax Romana, at the place where Europe, Africa, and Asia meets. I mean, at the exact perfect time, Jesus came and died for us. God has an appointed time. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. All right. Luckily, these are in order, so I can get to them sort of quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, therefore, judge nothing before it's appointed kairos. So even as we're dealing with issues in the church, even as we're deciding that somebody needs some confrontation, perhaps, over a thing that's happening, maybe it could even be a colleague at work. It could be a particular time. There was a situation in our family where we needed to do kind of an intervention. And Jan, thank you, Jan. Jan was she came to me and she basically said, John, now is the kairos. She didn't say that word. And since then, we've started and we're implementing that. And I'm telling you, it was necessary. So even as we're getting in each other's lives, you know, we need to use wisdom. There's the right time and there's the wrong time. And you can sort of go around like a bull in a china closet. But this passage here, 1 Corinthians 4, 5, says, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord's come. All right, 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Segunda Corintios, capítulo 6, versículo 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Ah, yes. Oh, this is my third. I got three favorites. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. For those of you who are lost, the best possible time, the best possible kairos is right now. And we probably have a few people here tonight who've not yet been baptized into Christ. Maybe because you're young or maybe you're here, praise the Lord, but you're not really here, you know what I'm saying? And Paul is saying to you, God is saying to you, now, right now, is the perfect time. It's the appointed time of salvation. Amen? 1 Peter 1:1, 1:11, almost there. Oh, I went out of order. How did that happen? I got 1 Peter before 2 Timothy. I don't know. I think I did it on purpose. I did. I remember now. 1 Peter 1:11 says, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing. So, again, I believe that, you know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, how He works in our life, right? Keeping step with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can work. And I can't tell you exactly how this works. I don't have a formula for this. But I believe if we keep ourselves pure and if we're open to God's prompting, I believe in some cases He will just tell you what that time is. So we need to remain open through prayer, through just being sensitive to God's Holy Spirit in ways that I can't explain. Because I believe that God has an appointed time, and I believe in some cases He will let us know through the Holy Spirit who lives in us if He does live in us. 2 Timothy 4:6, backing up a little bit here. Actually, we'll skip that one. Here's the one where Paul says, the kairos of my departure has come. I kind of already talked about that. There will be an appointed time when you and I will go to meet the Lord. Revelation 1:3, I'm going to skip that one so that I can go directly to Galatians 6, verse 9. All right. Go eat popcorn. Galatians 6, verse 9. I put this one at the end on purpose. It says here, let us not become weary in doing good. How many of you are feeling a little bit weary? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper kairos, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God's going to use you this year. I really believe that he is. And it may not be necessarily in a harvest of souls from you particular. Hopefully it will. And it might be a time where you pull somebody aside and give them the encouragement that saves them from going down the wrong path. I don't know. There's a lot of different kinds of kairos. Okay. So I just want to make a couple comments, and then we're going to go into our discussion groups. Okay. So, now, again, my claim tonight is that in 2021, it's going to be a year of kairos for many of us individually, for our church. I believe our church will be significantly different at the end of 2021. I'm not a prophet, but I really firmly believe it's true. One thing for sure, it's going to be larger. I believe we're going to have 90 members at the end of this year. I believe we will. All right, so there's going to be a kairos for us individually, for us, the Bakersfield Church of Christ, and I believe in our community in Bakersfield. God works not just through the church. God actually works through people out there in the world. I believe that. And I like to think it's going to be a turning point for our country as well. I like to think that. So we'll be making momentous decisions and changes this year. Some of us are going to shift directions, maybe in our education, maybe in our employment, maybe in some kind of commitment we make to God. What's going to be your kairos this year? What might God have planned for you? How about if you start praying about that? How about if you do that? Or are you just figuring, well, it's just another year. There's going to be 2021 and then going to be 2022. I like to think something special. Maybe your kairos will be a decision to go on a mission planting, possibly in Merced, fall of 2022. Most of the people that are going to decide to go on that mission team are going to make that decision sometime in 2021. Maybe you're going to make a decision that you're going to lead a Bible group. You're going to come talk to Jan and I or maybe Blaine or Eve, and you're going to let us know that you've got a vision on your heart for that. Maybe you're going to finally have a kairos in overcoming a particular sin that has dogged you for years. Maybe your kairos is going to be you're going to lose weight. Maybe it'll be that. Or maybe it'll be to be become a disciple and to be baptized into Christ. To baptize a family member. I don't know what it's going to be. But God, I believe God has a kairos moment for you this year in the next few months. I really believe that. So discussion question. And, the beginning of a new year is a good time to be thinking about what's going to happen that year. So kind of secretly, in a different sort of way, this is a let's make plans for the year kind of devotional hidden behind this awesome word kairos. So I want us to take some time to have discussion groups. The discussion group might be for Bella, a discussion group between her and her hand, or maybe she's going to, call up Tanisha and have a little discussion, ad hoc discussion group. But if, you know, if there's people there, let's do that. So here are the two questions. What can you see God doing in your life this year? What's going to be the kairos for you as an individual person? By the way, it may not be what you think tonight. But I want us to all have some kind of a goal for this year tonight. Because I believe if we're ready for it, it's more likely to be the time for it. Question number two, what's your vision for what God can do this year through our church? By the way, I think it's, three times since when Jan and I have gotten here, we've had a little devotional where we got the church together and said, what is your vision for the church for the next 6 months? And we're not being able to do that this year like we did last year. So when you have your little group discussion, if you would send your answer to the second question to me through a text or a email, or give it to your Bible talk leader to bring it to our leaders meeting on Sunday, because I want to talk about not what my vision is and not just what the leaders group vision is for the year. I want us to talk about what our vision is as a church. So question number two, what is your vision for what God is going to do this year through our church? In your wildest dreams, what could you see happening this year? What do you want me as the leader whose job it is to kind of implement this stuff? What do you want me to focus on? What ministry maybe should we start? Okay. So sorry, I went a little bit. Oh, it's not bad actually, but let's go into our groups. And thanks for being here for our midweek tonight. And in about 5 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more, Monroe's going to open up the Zoom, the usual Zoom, so we can have our fellowship tonight. Thanks very much. So glad you came tonight.